Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studio, it's time for the GNFCC 400 Insider. Connect, build, and grow with the Greater North Fulton Chamber of Commerce.
Hello and welcome to the GNFCC 400 Insider, the monthly radio show and podcast presented by the Greater North Fulton Chamber. I'm Callie Boatwright, President and CEO at the Greater North Fulton Chamber, and today we will be learning more about the North Fulton hotel industry. After 2 years in which many travelers stayed home, 2022 was to be the year of big travel when trips were checked off bucket lists. However, with record high gas prices and rapidly escalating airfares across the country, we're still finding that local travelers once again are racing to book local hotels, restaurants, and activities near home. North Fulton offers so many attractions and beautiful hotels, and I'm excited to learn more about all that this area has to offer. There are no better people than our two guests today to tell us a little about the activities close by. I have with me as guest Ted Basco, Director of Sales and Film Liaison for Visit Roswell. Welcome, Ted.
Thank you very much for having me.
We're glad you're here. We also have with us today Xavier Echeberry-Garay, General Manager of the Atlanta Marriott Alpharetta. Welcome, Xavier.
Thank you so much for having me. I know we practiced that last name on the, before the show, so it's very well done. Thank
you. I'm still saying it in my head. It's a wonderful last name, Echeberry-Garay. I think that we will all remember it now. I'm so happy to have both of you gentlemen with me today and excited to talk a little bit about what has been a rapidly changing industry in the last 2 years. So we'll start with hearing just a little bit about you and what got you into the position you're in currently and into the career path that you followed. So Ted, why don't we start with you? Tell us a little bit about how you got where you are.
Sure, absolutely. And again, thanks for having me. I think I was born into this industry, to be quite honest with you. I'm originally from San Francisco, California, and my mother and father were both in the industry. My mom was a chef with Hyatt Hotels in San Francisco, and my father was a beverage director at a very famous tourist spot at Fisherman's Wharf. It was a family-owned Italian restaurant that's very famous right in the heart of Fisherman's Wharf. So essentially, I grew up under that environment. But I didn't go to school for hospitality. I went for a completely different reason. I was in broadcasting and in communications in the sports field, which is my passion. But when push came to shove, it led me to the hotel world. I've got 20 years experience with Hyatt Hotels, with IHG, Starwood, now Marriott, both in operations and in sales. So it's been a lovely hotel career, and then transitioning here into the Atlanta marketplace in the greater Atlanta area, and specifically in Roswell, I found the other side of hospitality, so to speak, which is the tourism and marketing side. So currently Visit Roswell, the Roswell Convention and Visitors Bureau here in North Fulton County, and I act as the sales director.
We're excited to have you at Visit Roswell, and I think it's great. It's that prodigal child returns, right? You try to get away, and then you're like, darn it, I really do love the hotel industry.
Exactly.
Well, we're glad that you chose to come back. I think that's awesome. How about you, Xavier?
Well, again, thank you for having us. Similar to you, Ted, I had a family who was in the industry. My father was in the industry. My cousins, many of them are in the industry. Uncles in the industry, and they all told me to stay away from the industry. and I did quite the opposite. My last name is a French Basque heritage. We were from there. Got to the United States at about 12 years old. Came here about 12 years old. And then when the recession hit and job market dried up, I moved away. Moved for about 10 years I was gone. And then I came back in 2017, found myself a Georgia Peach, got married and have a little daughter to call my own now. So,
That's awesome. That's great. Well, we will have to talk about France on another show. I just got back myself. So great place. It's a great place to visit, but we're lucky enough to live here and encourage everyone else to come visit us here.
Absolutely.
So, and that was going great until March 2020, if I remember correctly.
Absolutely.
COVID at that point really negatively affected most businesses, of course, but it directly impacted the hotel and hospitality industry in 2020, which literally shut down. Ted, can you tell us a little bit about what the statistics look like during the wake of the pandemic versus what they look like today? Because we know that there's been a big change.
Oh, boy. Yeah, it has been a big change. And it's been enlightening to experience, to see, you know, back in 2020, March of 2020, when the shutdown started and occurred, you know, our hotels were still kind of had a hope, had a certain level of hope. Like, is this going to last for a week or 2 weeks, maybe even a month? But, you know, how it elongated really, really took its toll into this industry, in Roswell specifically too, as well, where we saw grim numbers to a point where like the occupancy levels were at single digits, Unheard of numbers, where then, you know, it became a staircase effect. You saw the staff dissipating. You saw the current staff at the hotels wearing four or five or six different hats just to keep the doors open for the folks that were actually staying at the hotels still remain relevant. So yeah, it was tough to see.
Yeah, I think that was the most difficult part. I remember we all went home, right, and thought, oh, this will be a week, two tops.
Right.
And for some of us, it was, you know, 6 weeks back in the office, but certainly not for the hotel industry. Xavier, how did the pandemic directly affect the Atlanta Marriott Alpharetta or the area hotels? I know that it was a significant impact, as Ted mentioned. How did the company survive during that mandatory closure?
Well, you know, I started in September, so I don't have all the history of the hotel, but I can tell you this. I think it really boils down to the word, and that word is resilience. The staff, I would say the industry, incredibly resilient. Very proud of what the team's been able to do, and a lot of the hotel industry's been able to do, which is effectively strip the hotel down to its nuts and bolts, and then after every wave of the pandemic, have to build that car, that hotel back together, and then unassemble it all over again, and doing it over and over and over with really no lack of motivation, because at the end of the day, people were very grateful to be able to have jobs.
Right.
And so if I were to say it would boil down to one thing, I'd go with resilience. The second thing is we have a wonderful ownership group that believes in long-term asset holds in our market, and they've underpinned that with another $8 million investment this year. We have a management company that understands the value of dynamic pricing and being able to shift the market mix around significantly, because I got to tell you, we found dollars where we never thought we'd be able to find dollars before.
Right.
We talk in our industry about something called the comp set, the competitive set of our hotels, I feel that during the pandemic, or during the height of the pandemic, one of the key things that we really saw was there's no comp set. There's no competitive set anymore. You're competing with everybody. You're competing with the select service market. You're competing with apartments. You're competing with everybody. So if you can hear me correctly, I think if you were to boil that down to those four things for us, was critical in being able to navigate ourselves out of this pandemic.
Yeah, I think that, and Xavier, with you being new to the property, it's important that you know, the Greater North Fulton Chamber was actually hosting a state conference for chamber executives at the Marriott when all of this happened, when Governor Kemp got online on that Thursday afternoon and announced the first death by COVID in the state of Georgia. And so interestingly, from our perspective, having been in your hotel, of course, the fact that, you know, our chamber presidents were packing up to get back to their own communities, rightfully so, to be able to be where they needed to be to help their local market. And so we were seeing the mass exodus of our conference there as you all were struggling with what in the world is happening and how does this look going forward. So we certainly were going through it with the Marriott specifically, and have been with the entire hospitality market, as Ted knows, through this last, you know, gosh, what now is just iteration number 80,000 or whatever we're on right now.
It kind of feels that way a little.
It yeah. does someday. Some days yeah. we all feel like we're back, and then there are others, certainly.
And, you know, to your point, Kelly, if I could just add what I'd like to look at the light at the end of the tunnel in advance. And the light at the end of the tunnel for us in Roswell was the fact that all of our 13 hotels survived. None of them closed. They all had to adjust. They all had to be to, you know, what we were talking about, resilient. You had to remain resilient, clawing our, you know, the hotels were just literally clawing their way to stay relevant. Yeah. So, you know, proud to say that we didn't experience any closures, unlike other parts of the greater Atlanta area.
Absolutely. Yeah. Resilience was key. I think you're right, Xavier, you nailed it. Ted, with the surge of staycations caused by COVID in part and by the economy in some part as well, what are some of the ways you've adjusted your marketing to attract both locals and visitors to the city of Roswell? Maybe just tell us about some of your signature events or unique restaurants and how the community has really embraced those in a staycation capacity in Roswell.
Right, sure. So for us as an organization, we're considered a DMO, a destination marketing organization. We're funded completely by the hotel motel tax, so it would behoove us to not promote our hotels even in a time of need during the COVID shutdown, really. So, you know, at the end of the day, the higher the occupancy our hotels have, the more money we have to market our destination, right? So this was the reason for us to be proactive, for our organization to be proactive, to continue to promote our hotels. To your point, we had restaurants. We have a wonderful destination on Canton Street, our historic downtown quarter, that has restaurants that you can't find anywhere, not only in Atlanta, but throughout the country. Right. So and they were experiencing all of the nuances of trying to figure out how to remain relevant within this time frame. So, you know, we focused our marketing initiatives towards our local businesses. We helped to keep them alive during these troubled times. And the way we really did it is to really market out there that these were safe environments to go to, that our hotels, like the Hiltons and the Marriotts of the world, they all had their safety and health standards that they needed to get out there to the general public. So then the consumer would feel more confident to stay at our hotels or at least book their rooms at our hotels over this time frame. Same with our restaurants. You know, we had an initiative where we called it Come Cozy Dine Out. And it was a marketing initiative to help drive business to our restaurants that featured fire pits and chimneys and heat lamps, especially during like the fall weather or the winter weather time frame where it was, you know, cold. And these restaurants were still adhering to the policies of no indoor dining or at least social distancing. So at least, you know, providing that option to help sustain and make some money. One restaurant in particular that I want to point out is Osteria Mattone, which is a Northern Italian cuisine restaurant right in the heart of Canton Street. The owner himself, he decided to build a yurt out of all things, a yurt out in his front patio that was conducive to exclusive dining. So if you were a family of four or a family of six that wanted to go out and leave the house and still dine out and support the community, yet still be socially distant per se, you know, booking the yurt and experiencing the food over at Osteria Mattone was definitely a great example of the type of initiatives that we did in Roswell. You know, we utilized our technology and our website and our followers on Facebook and Instagram where on a daily basis, we pushed out lists of restaurants that were either open or closed. If they were dine-in option or if they were purely takeout, we wanted to ensure that the local community, as well as our followers on our social channels, knew what was going on, that we were still open. We weren't closed. We just had to adjust.
As we all did, we all did. And Ryan Pernice, who owns Osteria Mattone, certainly is creative in many levels. So I have no surprise there that he had a yurt in his front yard. So that makes sense. As you mentioned, Ted, as a DMO, you all are funded by Heads in Beds, right? So right, the folks right. who come and stay, and that's really important. But there's got to be something there to drive that. And so I think that's, you know, that's a big part of it. How about what you've seen in the market? Have you seen additionally, especially now, you know, some of the creative ideas that are out there to get people back into these hotels locally or, you know, traveling?
Yeah, I think that's a great example of the creativity that's had to happen in the industry to be able to get people through the doors. Our example for our hotel is really we are a corporate hotel. That was our bread and butter. It represented about 75% of our business. So when that percentage of business falls out the bottom and we're completely purpose-built for what we call the BT, business transient traveler, we had to start reimagining what we are as a hotel and recreating destination offerings in a place that necessarily isn't the destination specific to our hotel, because we don't have some of the pedestrian friendliness of the Avalon or downtown, some of those things. And that's where we partner with the we love our DMCs and partner with our DMCs to make sure that all those wonderful offerings that are nearby are highlighted, and make sure that we offer experiences, adjust our length of stay, make sure that we package our rates with things like outdoor excursions that are only 25, 30 minutes away and in our own backyard, quite frankly. Make sure that we have turn our hotel from a classic corporate buttoned-up hotel to, hey, it's pet-friendly. Bring your dogs. Let's do a dog Wednesday or a friendly family Saturday out at the pool, and put some activations out by the yard, and make sure that we include some synergies with different musicians in town, and make sure that we involve the local community, because that's the only way we're going to survive. So I can't speak for the rest of the market, as again, I'm relatively new, but I can certainly speak to the experience that I've had in the short time that I've been here. And how wonderful it is to see the staff, how creative they get. And people come to your office all the time and say, hey, what about this? What about that? Let's spin it.
Yeah. And some of the best ideas come from that grassroots too, right? Your staff, definitely a great place to get some of those ideas. So, during COVID was known as one of the times that, we talked about creativity and the addition of technology and all of the changes that came along with that. Along with both of those came the rising popularity of Airbnb and VRBO. And those type of organizations, and they've become more available. And certainly during the time right in the middle of COVID, folks sort of looked at it like your yurt, Ted, right? So it was like a private place that I could go and not be around other people. So I'm curious, and this question's to both of you, how has the rise in popularity of Airbnb and personal rentals affected the hotel business and hospitality in this area? And then, along with that, how have you been affected? And then how is the hotel changing to compete with that?
Yeah, thanks, Ted. I mean, I would say in the industry, Airbnb and the rise of, potentially Sonder, if you've heard of Sonder and all these other companies, it's still a bit of an enigma. There's still a little bit of mystery around it. There's a similar industry. Our colleagues in the spirits industry, they have something called the Angel Share, which is when your distillery, whether it's rum or brandy or whatever your poison is, evaporates in the barrel about 10, 15, 20%. And sometimes they can't calculate what that is. I think that's very, very akin to what happens in our industry, particularly in resort destination markets. Now, specific to our hotel, you wonder, how do I track what is being the angel share? What is slipping to the Airbnb? And it's very hard to do that. But I can tell you that what's important for the hotel industry as a whole, without speaking for the industry, based on my experiences, obviously, is that we continue to have points of differentiation. So loyalty program is huge, right? Marriott, I believe, has one of the best loyalty programs out there. Being able to provide the points and the upgrades and the free breakfasts and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, spa appointments if you have them, that makes a huge mark. When you strip down your hotel into its nuts and bolts, like we talked about just a minute ago, you lose the ability to have that competitive edge. And I think everybody in the industry was a little worried there for a moment, because what was happening is the market mix shifted to your length of stay going from 1.7 to 2.2 days to now 3.5 to 5 days. And all of a sudden they're going, well, what's the difference between an Airbnb and a hotel? Right. What services am I? Am I getting housekeeping? Am I getting in-room dining? Am I getting this? Am I getting that? I'm going to stay there for 5 days. I'm not going to get housekeeping anyways. I still pay a cleaning fee. Why don't I just get the Airbnb? And that's the angel share. We don't know if we're losing it or not. And I think we've brought that back. So to just bring that home, it's so important that if we're going to continue to be successful in the industry and not compare ourselves to Airbnb, we have to find and continue to find those points of differentiation.
Yeah. And it's an evolution, right? Yeah. It doesn't happen overnight. The creativity that we've talked about, means that we're going to see it evolving over time, I think. You mentioned the hotel industry. Ted, congratulations on your recent award through the Georgia Association of Meeting Professionals International.
Thank you very much.
Very excited about that. And so you are involved in the meeting industry in Georgia. And so you probably have heard a lot of discussion and chatter, I would imagine, as a professional, a professional within your DMO, but also within the state. Do you have any feedback to that regard?
Yeah, the chatter is certainly out there. It's, you know, the lion's share of, you know, that should be our occupancy at our hotel, right? But at the same time, you've got these entrepreneurial types with Airbnb and Vrbo and Flipkey and these short-term rentals that are doing what it takes the same way a restaurant would or a hotel would to try to remain, you know, relevant from a revenue standpoint and as a small business owner per se, you know, in their market. So, you know, I mean, with short-term rentals, yes, they're definitely chipping away. I look at it from a tourism standpoint in Roswell. And we have the statistics that we get on a monthly basis through our partners with CoStar and Smith Travel Research, the Star Report that shows that, here and there, you could see that there are certain percentages in occupancy that are going somewhere else. You know, whether they could be going to, you know, a neighboring city to a short-term rental, right? So, I mean, let's face it, it's a fact. That, you know, these business owners, these private owners, they want to make their money, right? But at the same time, you look at it from a tourism standpoint, and we as partners try to work with our hotels and try to connect them with the right people, or the right other owners of businesses throughout our community. So say, for example, we linked up one of our hotels with a small business owner in Roswell that has handcrafted soaps. And they are handcrafted soaps that are created here in Roswell, in which this hotel in particular looked at it as an opportunity to provide their future guests with an all-inclusive Roswell experience. Stay in a Roswell hotel, you get Roswell amenities, and then obviously through us and our tourism organization, we could help provide a bigger footprint in terms of an itinerary for a guest to stay in for destinations to go to. So, you know,
evolution, man, it works. Evolution. That's right. That's how this all comes about. I think that's great. And it is about finding partners. I know that the chamber is always recommending our members who are hotels and certainly within that and the hospitality industry, because we want to help as much as possible to drive that business back into our hotels and to our restaurants and to our entertainment industry. And it's only benefiting collectively the region. So that's really important.
And Callie, you know, going back to the creativity question from earlier, you know, we actually have partnered with our sister organizations in Alpharetta and Sandy Springs here in North Fulton County. And we created the Topside Tap Trail, which not only highlights and features our three breweries and brew pubs in Roswell, but then the others also in Alpharetta and Sandy Springs. What does that mean? That means it's a co-op for us to actually share our business and keep it in North Fulton County, as opposed to lose it to Atlanta or Buckhead or maybe even a Savannah or a Chattanooga. So, you know, more of a reason for that customer that's itching to get out and experience a community that they may want to return to and have an opportunity to be drawn to something that, you know, that sparks their interest.
Well, and as the North Fulton Chamber, we love it when people collaborate to do that as a region. So that certainly makes all the sense in the world. I feel like we're devolving into bourbon, breweries. I'm enjoying the conversation.
Cheers.
I feel like we're going a whole new direction. So, and I hate to bring this up because this is the pain point for almost every business right now. Certainly, small businesses are feeling it large and probably none more than the travel and hospitality industry. So many people in the U.S. have stayed on the job market sidelines, right? In the wake of the pandemic, which has contributed to the shortage of labor And as a hotelier, Xavier, we'll start with you. You've certainly seen, you know, layoffs in the industry when we had to restrict, contract. And here, now that are expanding back out, it's where are the employees, where they all go? And so that's a big question. How have you seen the labor shortage affect your hotel? And what are you doing to accommodate what we believe is a smaller staff, but still create that great customer service that Marriott does?
Yeah, that's a great question. In fact, that is the question.
The question.
If you don't mind, I just want to go back to a point that Ted made about, I love the word you use, the co-op of different industries within the community coming together. It used to be where your sourcing strategy was leverage all the national accounts that you can so that you can lower your operating costs so that you can, then your margins will be a little bit better. But what people have, what I think and hope and pray and what I'm seeing is that operating companies and management companies are realizing the value of local. Mm-hmm. And they have been for some time. And I always have said this because I started my career in the hotel industry at the bar. Every zip code drinks differently. And every zip code eats differently. I have a Parisian chef that we just hired. And I remember his first week, he put a menu together. And I said, my friend, we're not in Bourguignon. We have to adapt. I want the shrimp and grits. We want to make it southern. We want to make it local. We want to get local purveyors to be a part of it. We want to highlight these local purveyors because they're doing a service to us, but we're doing a service to them. And in fact, we're actually doing a service to our customers.
That's right.
So that's a really big point. Sorry to sidetrack, but
it's a great example. And again, we're back to the bar, but go ahead. Yeah,
it's so hard not to stray.
No, it's a great topic area, especially when you're discussing pandemic. I'm sorry. Absolutely. So labor shortage, something no one should discuss without a beer, but yes,
you're right. Or two.
Right.
It is the question because I would tell you in, I don't think there is a business leader in our industry, and I'm sure you would agree, that thinks that there is a bigger challenge than labor. I thought about this for a second, and I would break it down into two, maybe there's three or four categories, but it's not a broad brush on labor. There are two different types of labor. There is, and I can use the example of the positions that we post at our hotel. What a lot of people don't know is the hotel industry is probably one of the largest employers for under 25s in the nation because we employ a lot of young
recent grads,
and that's a challenge in of itself that we have to overcome, a positive one, albeit. But again, I'm going on a tangent here, so forgive me. But getting back to the labor shortage, I think the breakdown of the two is if I post a marketing coordinator position, if we post a financial accounting position, if we post sales manager position, the flow of applicants is sizable. Mm-hmm. It's sizable. If I post bartender, barista, dishwasher, cook, it's almost non-existent.
Got it.
There's no applicant pool. It's not even a puddle, right? So, what we're dealing with is a challenge of a specific type of labor, and what I would love to say, since I have this microphone here, is I would love a resurgence or a cultural shift back towards, hey, there is value in technical. There is value and respectable applications for work that are very, very profitable. I can tell you that a bartender makes a lot more than many of our administrative and general positions. I can tell you that an engineer who has been seasoned for many years or an electrical engineer makes a lot more than many people would think. And for whatever reason, I feel that there is something about service in our culture that people think it's something that I'm transiting through. You know, I'm just a server. I'm making my way through school. I don't know if you ever get that. I'm just paying the bills. I'm paying off my debt. And I think it's fundamentally wrong. It's fundamentally wrong. The fact that you would have to lower yourself to get into service is fundamentally wrong. In fact, it's the opposite. I would say it's probably one of the highest forms of human expression is service. Service in the acts of others, service in the acts of your business, service in the acts of the people that you care about. That's what we are about. We're a hospitality business. We want to make people smile. It's not complex. It's a, you know, crisp bed, hot soup, nice coffee in the morning, good eggs at breakfast, and a warm smile when you depart. It's yeah. not that complicated. We just need people to execute that, and we're having a specific type of labor shortage. And we want to see how we can bring the community together. It's the question.
Yeah.
Through technical schools or through this or through that. And I don't have the answer.
Around the service industry.
Exactly.
Yeah, which in and of itself, I mean, customer service is what we all believe is number one, and that's why people come back. So that is, in fact, the most important person in front of you is the person who you're interacting with at that moment. And Ted, I'm assuming I'm seeing nods, so I'm going to agree that you're seeing the same thing over in Roswell as well.
Seeing the same thing. You know, I mean, really with our hotels, you know, they have and they still continue to, not all of them, but many of them are still continuing to experience staffing issues
right.
where you have a director of sales also working at the front desk for mm-hmm. a couple of hours, and you got a general manager stripping rooms and doing some housekeeping work. It's, you know, the fight for survival, right? Fight for survival.
Especially. We all do whatever it takes.
Yeah.
That's what the name of the game is. And we've all seen that, especially now.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
I agree.
And through my lens, you know, it's looking through it from the customer standpoint. Now that we're at a point here in the middle of 2022, business is back. We're seeing pickup in occupancy. Rates are getting strong once again. Yet we're still experiencing the staffing issue. You know, with our customers, we have a tendency just to keep it simple. We tell the truth. We say, you know, look, listen, you know, normally our hotels, you know, they'll respond to our clients within a 24-hour time frame because they know the value of the business. They want to win the business. But then on the flip side, telling the truth, that honesty is the best policy.
Right.
Sometimes we won't hear back from our hotel representative for 48 hours because they are
stripping
out of pocket.
Beds.
They're yeah. stripping beds.
Okay.
They're, you know, they're tending the bar. They're making coffee in the morning for the guests at the Starbucks
yeah.
Counter. So, yeah.
You know what? But they're doing whatever it takes, and I'd rather have somebody in a situation in management who is willing to do whatever it takes. So mm-hmm. that's in itself an endorsement of the property. You've yeah. already spoken to the fact that, you know, we continue to see the current trend to in travel and event industry go up. In 2022, we have seen it go up. Thank God. We're all very excited about that fact.
Yeah.
Do you foresee that continuing into 2023? And are there other trends that you're seeing or that you expect are going to pop? Either one of you, we can take turns.
Yeah. I'll talk about Roswell. You know, Roswell's unique because our profile of hotels are different. We don't have the amount of hotels in Alpharetta, the classification and the style of hotels in Alpharetta. We're very limited to that. Little footnote, that's going to change in 2024
yeah.
with a couple of great hotels that are going to be coming online soon. So stay tuned, folks. But right now, we've got a lot of hotels that cater to the market that we sell to, which is primarily leisure. And Roswell has an abundance of event facilities that cater to the wedding market, some historic homes and some locations where you can have a beautiful weekend to remember and get married. So that being said, you know, let's rewind back to COVID. Those that were supposed to get married over the COVID shutdown, they had to either one, cancel, or two, postpone. And our industry, our venues in Roswell were smart. They decided, we are not canceling you out. We want you to celebrate yourselves. We want you to celebrate with your families and still get married. But let's delay you. Let's postpone you to another date, a date that's more conducive, that's safer. So we got to that point, which then created the staircase effect. The staircase effect of the newlyweds or the newly engaged folks that wanted those same dates that were moved into.
You've got a double market now.
Yeah, exactly. So what does that do for our hotel community? It drives pick up very, very fast, especially on weekends. I'm telling all our customers right now, if you're looking into, you know, booking a hotel in late in 2022, you better book it now.
Right.
Because more often than not in our community in Roswell, our hotels are going to be almost full or probably even sold out.
Because they're booking with blocks, of course, for around weddings and events, which makes all the sense in the world.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, and then you've got the Marriott, Xavier. You've got a conference business, of course, but also business traveler, which looks a little different as a conference hotel. But are you seeing that as well? The business traveler is back?
They are. Our year-over-year numbers and indicators are really good. I would say we've grown 150%. And business travel year over year. We expect a continuation of that into 23. We still aren't to our 2019 levels. But our hope is that we can get close to that number in 2023, at least as we start writing the budget, hopefully next month. That's what we'll come across at the table. But I will say this. You were talking about the hotels that are coming in the Roswell market. And a lot of people will say, hoteliers will say, oh, there's too much inventory. What are we going to do? How are we going to compress? You know, us GMs, we're always whining about too many hotels. But at the end of the day, these owners, they know what they're doing. And I can tell you, and I'm sure all of us know, that the underwriting that goes into these hotels, they look at indicators better than anybody in the industry, and to see that in 23 we're going to have 4 new hotels and I believe 3 additional hotels zoned, including a 5-star hotel in the Alpharetta market is amazing. And to know that, I hope it's public knowledge that you're going to have a Kimpton, which is very, very, very high rates sustained at a Kimpton right. on Canton Street, which, quite frankly, I thought could have actually been done 5 years ago.
Yeah, but boutique style hotel.
The boutique style hotel is amazing for the Roswell market. I moved here when I was 12. All there was a Super Target.
Yeah.
And it's amazing to see the growth and the development and what you guys have done. I was blown away because I moved for 10 years. I was gone. I came back. And I saw what this became.
Surprise.
And he said, oh, what's going on here? So,
well, and to your point, you know, new product that comes into Roswell, into Alpharetta, and into North Fulton County, it definitely is a game changer for all of us. It helps to step, for the other hotels to step up their game and to continue to grow the entire county's hotel product.
Exactly. Yeah, and they know that if they're growing, it's because there's more of that pie that we're going to be able to get. Right.
What I love about this conversation is we've got a hotel in Alpharetta, and we've got the director of the DMO dealing with the hotels and talking from Visit Roswell. And what you're talking about is collaboration, right? So the North Fulton market is alive and well because folks work together and genuinely care about one another. We've talked about resilience. We've talked about creativity and evolution as we look at hotels and hotels of the future. We talked about safety and really that trust aspect of getting back into the hotels because of the great stewards you are with your properties and within your footprint. And unfortunately, because we've talked about all that, we are out of time. So I want to make sure, more importantly, that we are able to get in touch with both of you. And I will put it out there since neither of you did. No, we're not back to 2019 levels, but I'd like to be. So I would challenge everybody in our communities to not just stay in one of our properties, but also to invite your friends from out of town and let them stay in those properties as well. We want to drive business to get those heads in beds and to support our hospitality industry from all of that. I appreciate you both being with us today. Will you please let our listeners know how they can find out more first about Visit Roswell? Ted, how do they find you?
Absolutely. Visit Roswell. We have a comprehensive website where you could go to, and it's all things tourism and hospitality at visitroswellga.com. Our website includes all information about our hotels, our restaurant products, our boutique shops, our events. And speaking of events, our mobile visitor center, that is one of our newest endeavors that we now have now partaken in Roswell, is all throughout the community.
I love
it. So instead of having a brick and mortar building, we are actually coming out to the resident and the visitor, as opposed to them coming into a building and visiting us.
Oh, creativity and evolution. Yeah. And I hear that that's really popular in North Fulton. That's awesome.
Also follow us on Facebook. We're Visit Roswell, Georgia, as well as on Instagram, Visit Roswell, GA. I would be remiss if I were to not mention that we do have a solely independent film page where we work with the film industry. And that's for a different conversation, obviously.
But, absolutely. Yeah. And sounds like a great new radio show. So how about the Atlanta Marriott the Atlanta Marriott Alpharetta, so that folks can find out how to stay at your great property there on Windward?
Yep. We're on all the social media pages. So you can find us at Alpharetta Marriott, or you could hashtag us. We also have through the Marriott site, marriott.com. You can look us up there, or our own special vanity website. Hey, Atlanta Marriott Alpharetta.com.
That's awesome. I would recommend everybody visit these great websites. These gentlemen have been an absolute pleasure to host. I want to thank our guests for joining me today. I also want to thank our listeners for joining us on the GNFCC 400 Insider, presented by the Greater North Fulton Chamber. To listen to this show again or to hear any of our previous episodes, visit GNFCC400insider.com. And to find out more about the Greater North Fulton Chamber events and programs, you can always visit GNFCC.com. Until next time, I'm Callie Boatwright, and this has been the GNFCC 400 Insider on Business Radio X.